Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 16th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriFizer Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator in Lexington. In agricultural news, the Secretary of Ag says USDA's budget must be cut. There's no new compromise expected from Europe for the current round of the WTO. And Tyson's closure of two beef slaughtering plants is unlikely to have an impact on prices. Well, Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear about a disease hitting deer and elk that might be more dangerous than first thought. A report on how the cause of chronic wasting disease is not only found in the brain and along the spinal cord of deer, but also in the meat. And, hey, don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished like this. In the wheat pit, the March contract today was up 9 cents, or rather, that was in Kansas City, up 9, at 425.5. The May futures at 9 3/4 higher, 429.5, the settlement price there as well. Now, Chicago wheat, March contract, 359. They were up 7 today. And the May futures settled at 370, up 6 3/4. July wheat futures, 379 3/4, up 5 3/4. September's at 390, even up 7 cents. And December wheat at 402, up 7.5. March contract 410.25, up 7.25. March corn futures 223.5, up 1.5 today. The May futures at 234.25 were up 2. July contract at 243.5, up 2. And the September's at 249.75, up 1.5. December corn 259.75 for your new crop, up 1.25. And the March contract there at 266, up 1 for the day. The May futures, 269, they were up 1 on the day. March oats at 189.75, down 2 1/4 today. March soybeans at 591.5, were up 4.5. The May's up 5.25 at 604.25. July 614.5, up 6. And the November beans, 3 3/4 higher today at 623.5. March bean meal at 183.40, up $1. And the March bean oil up 30 cents at 22.57.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and at the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. He's actually traveling, I think, southward on I-57 today. Where are you headed, Dan?
Yeah, I'm headed to Harrisburg, Illinois tonight.
Ah, so you have a meeting down there in the Farm Bureau building, is that right?
Yes. Well, it's at a Heartland Banquet Center. It's sponsored, though, by the two county farm bureaus down there, Saline and Gallatin County.
So, and what time does it start? I assume this is open.
It starts at 6:30 for dinner, and then the outlook will follow the dinner.
Oh, so I suppose with dinner, it's probably registration. Have a good time down there tonight. What are you going to tell them first up about this season?
Well, I think, you know, you can kind of look at what happened today in the marketplace, and you can, you know, everybody has their own opinion of probably what was the driving force of today's strength. But I think you got to give a lot of credit to the strength today, probably looking at the 30-day and 90-day weather outlooks. They're primarily warm and dry. The pattern that we've had here pretty much through the winter continues, or at least that's their best guess as you go on into the spring months. I mean, it kind of tells you that the southern plains is going to stay on the dry side, so that, you know, fuel the wheat market strength, and then that kind of spills over and kind of helps the corn. And I think the beans kind of picked up some strength from that also, because the function of the market now, if that weather forecast is right, is to try to attract spring acres into production with higher wheat values and then that may begin to impact the acreage mix of corn and soybeans.
Well, what are most of the producers, and can you regionalize this, telling you about their acreage plans for the year? And I don't know whether it differs from Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota to Illinois, Indiana, Ohio or not.
Well, you know, the trend is to move away from corn and to soybeans simply because of the input cost. But I think, you know, you got to say that the rally in the corn market here over the past month here or so is definitely probably has pulled some acres back into production. I think that maybe is helping the soybeans hold together because, you know, when you look at the supply-demand tables, both by the near term and what distant supply-demand tables could look like with increased bean acres, they look terribly bearish. But, you know, those are all just, you know, penciled in projections. We don't know what the acreage is going to be, and we don't know what the summer weather is going to be. But I do think there's a shift moving back into corn. I think the insurance programs, the GRIP program especially, how that is set up for payments and that, I think you will probably see people shift acres into production by the GRIP policy and see how things play out, especially when you take into account the average prices that's probably going to be for the month of February for these corn and November beans. Actually, November beans are actually, you know, a dollar or so more above what the average has been over the past 5 years in this 620, 630 area. So I think the GRIP insurance policies are going to look awful attractive to producers as we go into this marketing year.
Of course, they guarantee, let's see, I'm thinking about GRIP.
You can go up to 90% of your county base or county average or whatever. Now, that doesn't protect you on your individual farm, but that policy is paying off nicely here in Illinois after USDA released their yield numbers here yesterday.
Okay, let's talk about where you feel this marketplace is going. Now, we've talked with many analysts. Most are bearish at this point. Have you turned the opposite direction yet?
Well, you got to say that the market has the best sources. And today's bean action is definitely flagging some signals that it knows something more than what everybody else knows looking at supply-demand tables. For anybody that's kind of been following our work here in Bloomington knows that we've been looking at a triangle formation developing in the bean complex. And today's closes in the old crop months now have us at least one close above that triangle or that downtrend line measured off of the January high. So it is kind of indicating that these beans may be breaking out of a bullish technical formation and getting teed up for a run to the upside. Now, we don't necessarily know what the fundamentals are for that, and I don't think I want to use one close here as technical confirmation. As a technician, I would like to, you know, see a couple closes and see how the market performs here as it's broken out of this triangle formation. But I do think, you know, from a psychology point of view, I think you can probably read the market that a lot of people are short these beans, waiting for the bottom to fall out of them with the 550 million bushel carryout and, you know, distant carryout projections, 600, 700, 800, whatever you want to put on them. So I think the market may have a bunch of bean traders caught short like it did last year, and the market rallied during February and March.
You know, you mentioned on the settlement that was closed was outside the pennant or the triangle. What were you thinking yesterday as she penetrated well below that triangle but then managed
to
close?
Well, the way I had it, Drew, Todd, we did not penetrate the triangle. We went down to it and then turned around
off the
and bounced
lot.
Back out of it. So we were still continuing that sideways coiling action.
Yeah, you drew off the low lows, but not off the settlements on the bottom side of it. I see.
Well, I don't draw it off settlements. I draw it off of the lows, and it was drew off of the late November low,
yeah.
And I think this mid-January low, you have an uptrend there, and then you can draw your downtrend there off of the January high, and I think it's maybe like the late January bubble up or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I think there's But that is, we've been coiling inside that. I view the trend as sideways on beans. And now you got a signal that you could be breaking to the upside. And like I said, the market has the best sources money can buy. And you don't want to necessarily fight the market trend if beans want to break out. So the caution is that it could be a bull trap. And a lot of times these formations, the first breakout is a false breakout. It traps everybody either on the bull side or the bear side. And then it just really rolls them over for a good pin. So you got to be a little careful. But the chart action is a little constructive on these beans, especially after yesterday's reversal and how we did follow through to the upside. And close higher.
All right. We'll try to include in our weekend newsletter what I think that you're talking about on this coiling action and then the triangle. I'll send that to you as a JPEG and make sure it's right before
okay,
we put it
that.
In our newsletter. And I'd like to put that in the newsletter so people can visualize what we're actually talking about. So that'll be fun. If you haven't subscribed to that newsletter, it's pretty easy to do. Do it on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Dan, have a safe trip south. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather. A tornado watch, by the way, in effect for some selected areas in Champaign or in Illinois and Indiana. Champaign County, Coles County, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties right here in the state of Illinois, all in the WILL severe weather coverage area. There is a tornado watch in effect until 8 o'clock this evening for those areas. A winter advisory for weather is in effect for northwestern Illinois tonight until 6 o'clock this evening. And for north central Illinois until midnight tonight, a high wind warning in effect for all of northern and central Indiana tonight. And a wind advisory is in effect for the southern parts of Illinois and southern Indiana this afternoon and through this evening. Tonight, windy in all sections in northwestern Illinois, snow during the early evening hour. That'll taper to flurries. Elsewhere, there'll be some rain, some thunderstorms that'll change to snow before tapering to flurries. And lows this evening from 7 in far northwestern Illinois to 32 in the far southern part of Indiana. By contrast, it is now 61 degrees outside the studios here of WILL on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll take a look at your agricultural news.
In agricultural news, in testimony before the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, USDA Secretary Mike Johann says the agriculture budget must be cut in 2007. The president's FY07 proposal, much like this year, contains across-the-board commodity program cuts and lower farm program payment limits. Johann says agriculture cannot avoid federal deficit reductions.
Nobody likes to have budgets adjusted. I've been around it long enough to know that it's the most unpopular thing just about any of anything we can do. But I will also tell you that I've been around it long enough to know, too, that very hard decisions do need to be made.
And Johann says federal spending for commodity programs has jumped sharply the last 2 years and looks robust again next year.
Our numbers were very large this year. We're in the vicinity of $21 billion this year. We're projecting about the same for 07.
Johann also says he opposes an extension of the 2002 Farm Bill. Johann says Congress should proceed with writing a new bill, even if the World Trade Organization Doha trade round is not complete. Johann says extending the 2002 Farm Bill would put the success of the Doha round in doubt. And he says with an April 30th deadline for a detailed world trade deal looming, Congress should have a pretty good idea of where the WTO process is heading quickly. Meanwhile, a top European trade official continues to insist no new offer on agriculture is coming from the European Union in the Doha round. During a press conference on the outlook for global farm trade Wednesday, John Burton, the EU's ambassador to America, said the EU is waiting for other countries to make progress in areas other than market access. A University of Missouri economist says Tyson Foods' closure of facilities in West Point and Norfolk, Nebraska, likely will not have a significant impact on cattle prices. Glenn Grimes says Tyson is expanding capacity in Dakota City.
I doubt that it will have any impact on the live market, but anything like that that could affect demand some in the long run would be more likely to be negative than it would positive. Closures, as contrasted to openings, always have a negative note.
Tyson closed the slaughtering facilities without notice, putting almost 1,600 people out of work. They'll continue to receive pay and benefits for 2 months, but Nebraska Congressman Jeff Fortenberry says he's angry.
I'm angry. I'm shocked. I'm deeply concerned for both the workers and the families affected by these decisions and for the communities of West Point and Norfolk. I've contacted both leaders in both communities to express my sympathies and support, and I'm just terribly disappointed that Tyson's Foods would make such a decision.
Fortenberry says the Tyson announcement points out the need for diversification in rural communities. And Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says the Senate will not vote on a tax reconciliation bill that does not include a provision important to many U.S. ag producers. According to Congressional Quarterly, Frist says he will not approve the final tax reconciliation bill if an extension of the 2003 capital gains tax reduction is not included. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, a disease that infects deer and elk has been alarming wildlife officials and hunters for years, but now it seems that disease could be more dangerous than previously thought. The Great Lakes Radio Consortium's Christina Shockley reports.
Chronic wasting disease, or CWD, affects the brain tissue of deer and elk. Sponge-like holes form in the brains of sick animals. The deer begin to waste away, become weak, and then die. Since CWD was discovered in Colorado nearly 40 years ago, wild deer in 9 other states have tested positive for the disease. Little is known about CWD, including how to stop it. What scientists do know is that the infectious proteins called prions, thought to cause CWD, are found in the brain and spinal cord areas of infected animals. But officials still don't have the answer to the big question. Judd Aiken is a professor of animal health and biomedical sciences at the University of Wisconsin.
The ultimate question is whether venison from infected animals, CWD-infected deer, poses a risk to humans. Clearly, the first question that needed to be asked and addressed was whether there was infectivity in muscle.
Recent findings say there is. Researchers at the University of Kentucky injected muscle from an infected deer into the brains of genetically altered mice. The mice displayed signs of CWD. This is the first time the infectious proteins blamed for CWD have been found in deer meat. The finding raises questions about whether eating venison is safe. Researchers, including Aiken, say the study is important but has limits. For example, he says it doesn't replicate what would happen in real life. Plus, he says it's probably unlikely humans can even get CWD. He says studies suggest it's difficult for the disease to jump to other species. Still, he urges caution. He says hunters should get the animal tested before they eat deer from an area where CWD has been found.
I in no way can advocate the consumption of infected deer, and indeed I would suggest due to the limitations of the CW tests, I don't advocate the consumption of deer obtained from a CWD endemic area.
Even if the test comes back negative, Aiken says a negative result isn't always accurate, and infected animals in the beginning stages of the disease can look and act normal. John White is a deer hunter from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's in the hunting section of a nearby sporting goods store. White isn't too concerned about chronic wasting disease.
Not a whole lot of people are worried about it. I mean, when it first came out, some people were a little bit leery about it and didn't want to hunt that year, but I mean, they kind of got over it. I'm not really worried about it being in the meat at all, because by the time the test comes back, I'll probably have the deer eaten already, and then it's already too late.
State wildlife officials say that's not a good idea. They recommend that if you hunt deer in areas where the disease has been found, get the deer tested before eating it. That message hasn't changed since learning the prions could be in the meat. Some argue it should change. John Stauber is with a government watchdog group in Wisconsin and is co-author of Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here? He says officials are keeping quiet about the risk of CWD so they don't lose revenue from hunting licenses. A large portion of state conservation agency budgets are dependent on fees from hunting licenses. He says all deer that die should be tested for the disease. Stauber also says CWD is a major human health concern.
The biggest risk might not be the people who die from eating venison, but rather the people who would die from the contamination of the blood supply. This is a problem that would unfold not in days or months or years, but even over decades.
Stauber says it's just a matter of time before chronic wasting disease spreads to people. He says some might even have the disease already and not know it. But researchers like Judd Aiken from the University of Wisconsin say people shouldn't overreact.
People should be concerned, but I don't want people to panic either. If you've consumed CWD or think you may have consumed venison from infected animals, I don't think it's likely that you'll ever develop a human prion disease.
But Aiken says there's too much we don't know about the disease. And since studies can take years to complete, we might be in the dark for a while longer. For the GLRC, I'm Christina Shockley.
The Great Lakes Radio Consortium is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation and from the Healing Our Waters campaign, working to restore the health of the Great Lakes. The future of the lakes is in our hands. Online at restorethelakes.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bezdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason, joined now by Bill Mayer, Rojag Marketing, out of Lexington, Illinois, to talk about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Didn't get a chance really to discuss the corn market at all with Dan Zwicker this afternoon as we were going through some technicals on the soy complex side. What'd you make of today's trade?
Well, I think it was a good follow-through from yesterday. We're back up there testing some of the highs that we saw there a couple weeks ago, and I think we'll go up and see if we can test that, and if we can break through that 226, 227 level on the nearby, we can probably move it on up to 234. You know, from a cash standpoint, the basis still is kind of sloppy out here when you look at it compared to the deferred, and one viable strategy is still to go out and maybe lock in some futures out in the further out months and then hold that either HTA or a futures contract or a put option and then, you know, let the bases improve as we move through the spring.
And then on those sales, that's one way of making sales, but we're really entering the time frame at which farmers generally need to think about marketing new crop, at least some new crop corn and maybe in a couple of months some new crop beans. But any other ideas on whether this is a good place to take some steps, or are we waiting it out still?
Well, we think on the new crop corn, you should have some start on it. We're looking at about four opportunities that we should get, and this is the first one, we think. So, you know, you should have somewhere around 25%. We're looking at leaning kind of heavily towards the put side of it because we do see some potential upside in the market.
And your bids there for the day are?
Cash corn's at $2.05, beans $5.66.
Thanks much, Bill. We appreciate it. Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us from the elevator there in that small burg just north of Bloomington. In a couple minutes, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Vermilion County Auditor Linda Anstey says the county has a $3.7 million surplus, not the $4.7 million deficit that led the county board to cut staff and raise taxes last year. Anstey says she doesn't know how the county board arrived at its estimates and that it may be impossible to lower the higher tax levy now that it's been passed. But she says she's been told by Vermilion County Board Chairman Bill Boyer that they may call back many county employees who were laid off. At George Ryan's fraud trial today, prosecutors said harsh words for a fellow prosecutor who was called to the witness stand by the defense. U.S. Attorney for Southern Illinois Edward McNally was called a hired gun by prosecuting attorney Patrick Collins during more than an hour of wrangling on the issue. Ryan defense attorney Brantley Lerman countered by telling the judge that prosecutors are so angry at their fellow federal lawman for being a defense witness that they're trying to destroy him. McNally was one of Ryan's attorneys in 2001 when Ryan was interviewed by FBI agents investigating bribery in the Secretary of State's office. Governor Rob Blagojevich will formally announce his reelection campaign this weekend with a two-day, eight-city tour of the state. A campaign spokesman says there are no plans to debate his challenger, Edwin Eisendrath. Instead, the governor wants to challenge the eventual Republican nominee to debates in the fall. Indiana Homeland Security officials say training will be one of their top priorities in the coming year. Director Eric Dietz says teamwork among state, local, and federal officials is key to Indiana's new strategic homeland security plan. First, it was the University of Illinois' Daily Illini that reprinted Danish cartoons satirizing the Prophet Muhammad. Then the Northern Star of Northern Illinois University in DeKalb joined in, running the cartoons this past Monday. The NIU student paper has received both criticism and support for running the cartoons. Northern Star editor Derek Wright says they tried to do things differently than the Daily Illini, running the cartoons along with an article explaining the controversy and a column from a student Muslim group explaining its objections to the cartoons. The Daily Illini said it suspended two of its editors this week while it investigates charges they ran the cartoons without the consent of the editorial staff. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason, and at the weather we're looking at this afternoon, kind of interesting, a tornado watch in effect for Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area. That until 8 o'clock this evening. A winter weather advisory in effect for the northwestern part of Illinois until 6 o'clock this evening. And for north central Illinois until midnight tonight. A high wind warning in effect for all of northern and central Indiana tonight. And a wind advisory in effect for southern Illinois and southern Indiana this afternoon and this evening. Sounds like a pretty rough couple of hours, maybe a rough couple of days we're looking at. And it's going to be cold, too, isn't it? Pete Levitt joining us now to take a look at the ag weather forecast.
Indeed it is, Todd. Good afternoon. We are seeing that band of showers that possibly could produce a few severe thunderstorms or a tornado or two. Right now it's lined up from about Chicago southwestward to, just about over the Quad Cities area. It's got some heavy cells in northwest McLean County, and those are the kind we look for thunderstorms and maybe some severe weather. That band is rather thin. It's moving rapidly eastward, and hence the activity will shift eastward with it. There's another broader band behind it with some longer-term showers and a few scattered thunder showers across eastern Iowa and western Illinois, northwestern Illinois, and they may add to a little precipitation later.
But the big change will come tonight and tomorrow as temperatures go right back to winter, from temperatures up in the well up in the 50s and even low 60s this afternoon. We're seeing temperatures tonight dropping down sharply into the 20s across most of the region tonight, not getting out of the 20s on Friday, and then dropping down into single numbers, and even sub-zero readings are in tap for northwestern Illinois, probably as far south as, just south of Chicago someplace, down to I-80, may see it. And this is pretty tough to do in the absence of snow cover. So real Arctic air. We see temperatures in the what we call the source regions of south-central Canada this morning were some 50 degrees colder than they were in that same region just a few days ago. Winter has finally shown up in Canada, and it's headed our way.
Wow, that is a quick and drastic change in the weather here in the Midwest. I do need to know before we go about the Southwest and what they can expect in the terms of rainfall or precipitation, if any at all.
Well, we don't see any significant precipitation for the Southwest, and this may wind up being a problem for them. We have that Arctic air mass we're talking about is going to get down into Kansas and maybe as far as northern Oklahoma, with temperatures getting down in the single digits and a few below zero readings in northwest Kansas in the absence of any snow cover at all. And that should occur in the next Saturday and Sunday, I guess, is when we're looking for those. And that could institute some winter kill in that area of a crop that's been struggling on dryness and poor early development.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us on Thursday afternoons. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets. You have a good afternoon.
Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.